Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And we are looking at the March 2012 Ensign Magazine, which is produced each month by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And what makes this edition especially interesting to us is that it has several articles dealing with the Mormon leadership. And we're going to look at an article under the What We Believe section called We Sustain Our Leaders, found on page 8 in this magazine. It says in the first paragraph that the Lord has given these leaders authority to call others to serve in the church, such as members of the 70 apostles and 70 extend callings to stake presidents who call bishops, who call members to serve in various positions in their wards. Would you agree, Eric? It seems to be an assumption, of course, that Latter-day Saints have to come in with this trust level. And they have to believe that when their leaders tell them that God is behind something, that there's no questioning that. Because of the position they hold in the Mormon Church, members are expected to believe that God is behind all this. So obviously, if God is behind it all, God would never want to lead the people astray. And the Mormon leadership have actually said of themselves that God will not allow the leadership to lead the membership astray. But sustaining the leaders is very important to a Latter-day Saint. So
this is in a section, the article we're talking about, it's called What We Believe. And when they have a section like that, it's made of two pages toward the front of each of the ensigns they put this in. And on the right, they'll put in pictures and a flow chart. And I thought the flow chart on this with the pictures, there are a total of five pictures, was very appropriate for what we're talking about here. Because notice on page 9, number 1, it says this, we sustain the general authorities of the church. Now that is said at the very beginning. This is the starting point for a Mormon. They must sustain the authorities of the church. They do this at general conference twice a year where they raise their hands and they say that we agree with them. But nothing can be really questioned on what these guys are saying, because number 2, we can show by raising our hands at the general conference that we will sustain our local leaders and others who are called to us. So not just the general authorities, but also their local leaders who, again, are not supposed to be questioned. And then following their counsel is box number 3. We sustain our leaders by following their counsel. No place in here to see if what they're saying is actually going to be true, is it biblical, or anything else. There has to be a trust put in the leadership before you can live your life as a Latter-day Saint.
Basically, what they're given is like a carte blanche. You sustain them as your leader, and then you kind of give them your permission by sustaining them that they can do basically whatever they feel is necessary in order to guide the church. And of course, when we come with a view, believing in the depravity of man, that all of us are sinful and all of us are prone to doing things that could be wrong at some particular point in time, we have to have a sense of check and balances here. Because it's the prophet of the church who has final authority over the rest of the church. He has the highest authority. Now, Mormons will tell you that, well, as we've said, God won't allow them to lead us astray. Now, I don't want to beat a dead horse on this, but that historically just cannot be justified. Because we do know that Mormon leaders have taught things in the past which modern Mormon leaders would not support as being from God.
Give us a few examples.
Well, I think the big ones are, of course, is as we've been talking about, this whole priesthood ban. You had several Mormon prophets supporting and enforcing that ban. Thomas Monson himself, before he became the president of the church, moving on a local level, had to enforce that ban. If somebody was to come to Thomas Monson, and let's say they were of African heritage, and let's say they wanted to be sealed in the temple, Thomas Monson would have to have told them no. He would have enforced this. Now, he is the current leader of the church. But other leaders of the past were enforcing it also. And now the Mormon Church is telling us they don't know why this ban was put in place in the first place. But that's not what they were saying before 1978. In other words, they again, as we're saying, they want it both ways. They want the membership to believe everything they tell them, but then they get up with this statement regarding Professor Randy Bott's comments, where he merely tells what he was grown up believing, why the blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood. And now they're saying, well, everything before 1978, that was just speculation and folklore. In other words, these guys didn't know what they were talking about. They could not discern what God was really saying on this issue. And now, of course, they say, we've got it right. Well, what do you do with Brigham Young? And again, as we've mentioned before, the Adam God teaching. He taught it was a doctrine, even said you better pause before you treat it lightly or with indifference, because it will prove your own salvation or damnation. That's a pretty strong opinion, if that was just his opinion, where he puts down curses regarding believing what he's saying in a conference message. But Mormons today don't believe that. If you were to accuse a Mormon of believing Adam is God, of course they would laugh at you, and you would sound ignorant because they have abandoned that teaching for many years now. But yet at the same time, they want to tell the people that they are not allowed by God to lead the church astray. I mean, this is what Gordon Hinckley said. Gordon Hinckley was the 15th president of the church. He says, "Do you believe this body of men would ever lead this church astray? Remember whose church this is. It carries the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands as its head. His is the power to remove any found remiss in his duty or who is teaching that which is not in harmony with his divine will." Really? Then why didn't he get rid of Brigham Young when he taught that Adam was God?
Yeah, right.
Why didn't he get rid of Brigham Young when he taught blood atonement? Why didn't he get rid of Brigham Young when he said something so silly as gold and silver grows like the hair on his head and the wheat in the field? Why didn't he not get rid of Brigham Young? Yet Brigham Young held the position of prophet, seer, and revelator longer than any other leader the church has ever had. Why didn't he get rid of Joseph Fielding Smith or Harold B. Lee or Joseph F. Smith or John Taylor, again Brigham Young, when it came on about the teachings regarding the blacks? If that was remiss, and now this is what they're telling us, if that was remiss, then they should have been taken out. In other words, when we read Gordon Hinckley making a comment like that, it doesn't fit with their history.
They have a statement at the bottom of page 9, for more information, see, and it has two different manuals. One is the Teachings of the Presence of the Church, Joseph F. Smith from 1998, and the current manual that the church is going through this year, 2012, George Albert Smith, Chapter 6. I just covered that chapter on our website, and you can find that on our main website as well.
Well, it was a few weeks ago, because this isn't airing right away.
But it's there. It's there. Chapter 6 is up, and they can look at this, sustaining those whom the Lord sustains. But I want to quote something from George Albert Smith that pertains to what we're saying here. He said, "The man who presides over us today is not presiding because of his own native ability. He is not presiding because he is the son of some great potentate, but he is in the position he occupies because our Father in heaven knows the integrity of his soul. Realizing the determination he would have to carry this message to all the nations of the earth, he prepared him for the high calling that has been conferred upon him. He presides as a representative of our Heavenly Father." One of the things that the Christians who are listening to this radio program need to understand is that Mormons are not supposed to just go on their own beliefs based on what they read from the Bible. They're supposed to listen directly to these men who supposedly have been chosen, prepared, and inspired by the Lord, is how George Albert Smith puts it, to be able to guide them into truth. And how, as what you're talking about with the past changes that have been made, how do you know that what is being taught in General Conference today or in their manuals is actually true teaching that will uphold through all time? 30 years from now, they can make changes based on what Thomas S. Monson has said and his apostles, and people 30 years from now are going to say, well, that was just back then. This is a dangerous precedent to put men in such power.
It is, and because truth in Mormonism is always in a state of flux, you never know what direction it's going to go. And again, I think we need to keep pointing back to its history. This is why I think it's very clever when Mormon apologists say, hey, don't talk to us about our history. Don't talk about history. Well, why not? Because it's Mormon history that causes a lot of Latter-day Saints to sit up and take notice and say, hey, wait a minute. What about that? Because a lot of modern leaders, or I should say a lot of modern members, are led to believe that there are no what Hinckley called blips in their history. Mm. There's a lot of blips in their history.
Sure there is.
And we want people to see these things because this shows us something is very, very wrong in Salt Lake City. So when they give this impression that somehow the leaders are not able to lead the membership astray, history really doesn't support that.
On this article, page 8 in the Ensign magazine from March 2012, it concludes after talking about ways that you can help sustain your authorities and your local leaders, like your faith and prayers on their behalf, following their counsel, helping when they ask us, and accepting callings they extend to us. And I find this last statement to be it's damnable, really. Sustaining our leaders is evidence of our goodwill, faith, and fellowship. Nothing in here is talked about whether or not they're teaching true doctrine or anything else, but we just need to go ahead and blindly sustain our leaders because we trust them. That is not biblical. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to test everything. 1 John 4:1 says that we are to test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false
prophets have gone out into the world.
And this is the danger when we I don't care if this is we're talking Mormonism, I don't care if we're talking about any other religion out there that follows the teachings of men like this, and you don't have a source like the Bible to be able to go from, you're in dangerous territory.
That's why I think God gave us the Bible. It gave us an outside source that we can always check what somebody is saying to see if it coincides with what God has already revealed. If somebody is saying something that conflicts with what God's revealed word says, the Bible, then you can be sure that that's not coming from God.
And that's the word canon, which means straight or read. It's our measuring rod that we can put up against the teachings of somebody else and see of whether or not it's telling the truth.
And our hope and our prayer is that the Latter-day Saint people will think through this and that they will carefully look at their history, and hopefully they will see the inconsistencies that are coming out from the words of their own leadership. At the same time, I want you to know that you can trust in what God has said in the Bible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.